All right, everybody, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be taking a look at a slip and fall case from Tennessee. This one's from 1995, so quite a while back, but the lessons we can glean from this one are still super relevant today.
That's right.
Especially, I think, for all the law students out there listening in. You know, this one really gets into the weeds on what kind of evidence can really make or break a premises liability claim.
Yeah.
And a super interesting concept that comes up is this idea of constructive notice. You ever dealt with this one before?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, constructive notice pops up all over the place in these cases. And, you know, as we dig into this case, Ogle versus Winn-Dixie Greenville from 1995, it's a great illustration of how this legal idea of, you know, what a business owner should have known really plays out in a real world situation.
Yeah. So let me just set the stage here for everybody. This case, it all boils down to this really important question. And it's the question that the court had to grapple with, too. Did the plaintiff in this case, her name is Mary Ogle,
yeah,
did she actually present enough evidence to show that Winn-Dixie, you know, the grocery store chain, knew about the hazard that caused her to fall in their restroom?
Right.
Or even more importantly, you know, should they have known about it?
Right.
And get this, the trial court didn't even let this one go to a jury.
Oh, wow.
They just straight up granted Winn-Dixie summary judgment. So something definitely went down there.
Yeah, that's pretty significant. I mean, usually when a judge grants summary judgment, it means they felt like one side just has such a strong case based on the law and, you know, the undisputed facts that there's really nothing for a jury to even decide. So that alone is already a huge clue that something's up.
Yeah. So we're going to dive into the evidence that Ms. Ogle presented to try to figure out, you know, what went wrong with her case. And like we said before, almost all the evidence we have, it pretty much comes down to her own words, her side of the story.
Right.
So you know what actually happened inside that Winn-Dixie restroom.
Okay, so the basic story for Mrs. Ogle is that she went into the restroom at a Winn-Dixie store. And while she was in there, she slipped on something wet. And then she fell down. Now, here's the thing that the court really focused on. The only direct account of this whole thing, of what the restroom looked like, what happened, you know, it comes straight from her.
Mm-hmm.
It comes straight from her sworn statement, her deposition. Now, during that deposition, she did mention that, you know, her clothes felt damp afterwards.
Okay.
So that's something, but that's pretty much all she had.
Damp clothes. Yeah, you'd think that would be, you know, kind of a smoking gun in a restroom, slip and fall. But obviously the court, they wanted to see more than just that, right?
Right, yeah, absolutely.
So what was missing from her case? What were the big gaps that she couldn't fill in?
That's the really interesting part here. So in her deposition, Ms. Ogle admits she has no idea how long that wet substance had been on the floor. Like, was it a brand new spill? Had it been sitting there for who knows how long? She just couldn't say.
Mm-hmm.
Even more importantly, she didn't know where the wet substance came from in the first place.
Oh, okay.
Was it another customer who spilled something? Was it, you know, some sort of maintenance issue or a leaky pipe or something? She had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
And to make matters worse, you know, there were no witnesses who saw her fall.
Wow.
And Winn-Dixie didn't have any employees who came forward to say,
yeah,
we saw a spill, or we knew the restroom was in a bad state.
So basically it's like her word against, you know, the void.
Basically, yeah. I mean, it's her word against a complete lack of information about the circumstances of the spill itself.
I see. Okay, but didn't Ms. Ogle say something about, like, the general cleanliness of the restroom in her deposition?
Oh, yeah, she did. She said she felt like the restroom was unusually unclean, and she specifically pointed to the paper towels.
Uh-huh.
She said they were overflowing from the trash can and even scattered around on the floor. Yeah, not a great look for any business, obviously.
Yeah, not a good look. So was that enough to sway the court? Did that matter?
Well, that's the thing. While, you know, nobody wants to walk into a messy restroom, the court was looking for a direct connection between this messiness and Ms. Ogle's fall.
Okay, so she didn't slip on the paper towels themselves. So how does the whole paper towel situation play into whether Winn-Dixie had any responsibility for that wet spot that she did slip on?
Exactly. The court basically said even if the restroom was a complete disaster, you know, with paper towels everywhere, that doesn't automatically prove that Winn-Dixie knew or should have known about the specific wet spot that caused Mrs. Ogle to fall. It's about notice.
Okay.
There's two types of notice. Actual notice is when they actually knew about it, somebody told them, or they saw it themselves.
Right.
Constructive notice is the trickier one. It's when they should have known about it. Like, if the spill had been there so long that a reasonable business owner doing their regular checks,
yeah,
you know, being diligent, would have spotted it and cleaned it up. So the court's point was, there's a big difference between a generally messy restroom and a specific hazard. like a puddle of liquid on the floor.
So the judge takes a look at all of this, right? The damp closed the paper towels and says, nope, there's not even enough here to let a jury decide.
Right.
And that's when they granted that summary judgment in favor of Winn-Dixie, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So just to break it down for our listeners out there, because I know this can get a little confusing, can you explain again what summary judgment actually means in, you know, simple terms?
Sure. So in a nutshell, summary judgment is when a judge basically steps in and makes a decision before a case even goes to trial.
Uh-huh.
And they do that when they're convinced that there's no real dispute about the key facts of the case. And based on the law, you know, as it applies to those facts, one side is clearly entitled to win.
Got it.
So in Ogle Winn-Dixie, they argued, and the trial court agreed with them, that Mrs. Ogle simply didn't give the court enough evidence to show that there was a real question about whether they had that notice, whether they knew or should have known about that wet spot.
Okay, so no dispute on the facts, no need for a jury to weigh in, case closed.
Exactly. The judge basically said, look, there's just not enough here for a reasonable jury to decide in Mrs. Ogle's favor.
Gotcha. So the big hole in her case was the missing information about the spill itself, right? You know, when it happened, yep. How long it was there, all that. And that leads us to this really important legal concept we keep coming back to, constructive notice. Can you break that down for us in more detail?
Yeah. So constructive notice, it's a pretty big deal in premises liability cases.
Yeah.
Like you said, it comes into play when there's no evidence that the business owner, you know, like in this case, Winn-Dixie actually created the hazard themselves.
Right.
And there's no proof that anyone specifically told them about the hazard either.
Mm-hmm.
So constructive notice is basically saying, even if they didn't cause it and nobody told them about it, they can still be held responsible if the hazard was there long enough that they should have known about it.
Okay, so it's all about what they should have known, not necessarily what they actually knew.
Exactly. And to figure that out, courts have to use a kind of a reasonableness standard.
Mm-hmm.
They have to ask, would a reasonably careful business owner taking all the necessary precautions have spotted that hazard and dealt with it in a timely manner?
Okay.
And this is where things get tricky for the plaintiff in a case like this. Because without any information about how long the spill had been there, it's really hard to prove that Winn-Dixie had a reasonable opportunity to discover it and clean it up.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you can't expect a business to constantly be, you know, scanning every square inch of their property every second of the day. It's got to be reasonable, right?
Precisely. There has to be some basis for arguing that they had a fair chance to find it and fix it. So that's one of the biggest challenges in these constructive notice cases.
And so you know what happened next? Mrs. Ogle, she took her case to the Tennessee Court of Appeals hoping to get that summary judgment overturned, right?
That's right. But unfortunately for her, the appeals court, they actually sided with the trial court.
Oh, wow.
They upheld the summary judgment in favor of Winn-Dixie. And the opinion written by Justice McMurray, he really emphasized how weak Mrs. Ogle's evidence actually was. You know, as we've been discussing, she just couldn't provide any solid details about where the wetness came from or how long it had been on the floor.
Yeah, it's all kind of just speculation at that point, right?
Exactly. And there's this really powerful quote from Justice McMurray's opinion that really sums up the court's thinking on this.
I love a good legal quote laid on us.
Okay, so he wrote, and I'm quoting here, a case doesn't go to a jury on a mere spark of evidence. It needs material, substantial proof.
Ooh, that's good. I'm going to write that one down.
So what he's saying is that Mrs. Ogle's evidence, you know, the fall, the damp clothes, the whole paper towel situation, it was just a spark. It wasn't a roaring fire.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't enough to create a real question of fact for a jury to decide. To let it go to trial based on that flimsy evidence would be basically asking the jury to just guess.
Yeah, that quote is a great illustration of how, you know, just because something bad happens on someone's property, it doesn't automatically mean they're negligent.
Absolutely.
You got to have the evidence to back it up.
You need the receipts.
You need the receipt. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So you mentioned a case earlier called Fryer versus Kroger.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that case had a very different outcome, right? So how does that case help us understand what went wrong in the Ogle case?
Fryer versus Kroger is a really helpful case to look at here because it shows us the kind of evidence that can make a difference in these premises liability cases.
Mm-hmm.
So in Fryer, the court actually found that there was enough evidence of notice to let the case go to trial.
Okay, so what was different about Fryer?
The key difference is that in Fryer, there was evidence that someone had actually reported a spill to a Kroger store manager before the plaintiff fell.
Oh, okay.
So that report, It created a factual dispute about whether the store's employees had acted reasonably after being notified about the hazard. It established that they had knowledge of a dangerous condition before the accident even happened.
So in Fryer, the store knew or should have known because someone told them about the spill, right?
Precisely. And that's the piece that's missing in Ogle.
Yeah.
There's no evidence whatsoever that Winn-Dixie was ever made aware of that specific wet spot before Mrs. Ogle fell.
Got it. So in one case, you have a direct report of the hazard, and in the other, you have just speculation.
Right. Fryer had that crucial element of prior knowledge, which opens the door to all sorts of questions about what the store did or didn't do to address the problem.
Hmm.
Ogle didn't have anything like that.
Okay, so big takeaway here for our listeners, especially those future lawyers out there.
Right.
What are the biggest lessons we can learn from Ogle versus Winn-Dixie? What should they be taking away from this case?
Well, I think the most important takeaway is that in premises liability cases, especially when you're dealing with this idea of constructive notice, you absolutely need rock solid evidence. It's not enough to just say, hey, I felt it was wet, therefore the store is liable.
Right.
You need to be able to show that the hazard was there long enough that the business acting reasonably would have found it and fixed it. And that often means doing some serious investigation, digging up surveillance footage, employee logs, eyewitness accounts, anything that can help you establish a timeline for how long that dangerous condition was present.
And like we saw in Ogle, right, saying, oh, the restroom was messy, you know, general observations like that's usually not going to be enough.
Nope. You got to connect those observations to the specific hazard that caused the injury. And you got to be able to show that it was there long enough for the business to have a reasonable chance to address it.
And at the end of the day, it all comes down to burden of proof, right?
You got it. In these cases, the person who's claiming they were injured, the plaintiff, they have the burden of proving that the business knew or should have known about the dangerous condition. In Ogle, it really drives home the point that without enough evidence to meet that burden, especially regarding how long that hazard was there, the plaintiff is probably going to lose, especially if the business files a motion for summary judgment.
So to sum it all up, our deep dive into Ogle versus Winn-Dixie, it really highlights how difficult it can be to prove constructive notice in these slip and fall cases.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it shows that you need more than just a bad experience or a feeling that someone was negligent. You need hard evidence.
Absolutely.
Evidence that a reasonable person would look at and say, yeah, the business should have known about that danger.
Exactly.
Well, all right. This has been a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
Really appreciate your insights on this one.
My pleasure.
And for our listeners out there, you know, especially those law students thinking about their future careers in law, I'll leave you with this thought to ponder. What are some proactive steps that businesses can take to not only prevent these slip and fall accidents from happening in the first place, but also to protect themselves against these claims of constructive notice if an accident does occur?
That's a good one to think about.
It is. It's a really important question, and it's something for all of you to keep in mind as you continue your legal education.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us for the deep dive.
Thanks, everyone.